How are you?
Sure.
What's new?
Nothing.
Snoo, dog. Oh, wait. I'm mixing jokes up there.
You didn't have to turn that down, Josh.
That's alright.
Josh is killing on his Destiny.
Yeah, he finally got his Destiny together?
Yep.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Eric Powell didn't know that I still make... Well, he didn't know that I made a podcast to begin with.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain to him how it's just basically you calling me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that, that leads to the other confusion of why.
don't oversell it.
Yeah, I mean, people might get a little more interested in it if you actually sounded like you were a little more interested in it.
When have I ever done that?
Well, yeah, but that, persistence of action does not prove truth.
I want some week for Crank just to show up with a bunch of, like, interview questions. tell me about, how did you get into drawing?
No, that's not the question you'd do. Nobody wants that question.
No, I'd probably lead off with, like, so, why are you a jerk?
Oh.
No!
I'm kidding. That would be at least the third or fourth question.
How many times have you mowed your yard today?
Today, none. Yeah, I've got an uncle that told me that he looks in at the Crankcast every now and then, but he doesn't listen because it just sort of rambles and doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know why we still do it.
Well,
I know why we do it, because we like talking to Crank.
Yes, that's the only reason I do this. It's the only reason I do this is because I get to talk to Crank every week. I know that that is... dangerously close to saying I like Crank, but...
Aw. He likes me. He really likes me. So I'm pretty bad at keeping up with people when I, like... Because I get focused on work and things like that, you know? And, so this gives me a scheduled point to keep in touch. If that makes any sense. And I kind of feel like that's probably the way it would be for you, too.
Oh, you know it is.
Like, if you didn't have a scheduled weekly thing to remind you to talk to me, you probably wouldn't talk to me.
This is true.
Yeah.
Why do you think we get so mad when you don't show up to, like, C2E2 and stuff?
I don't know. You talk to me every week. It's not like you're out of touch or anything.
Yeah, but it's nice to see your buddy.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm not much, in the way of company. But anyway.
You're not, but...
Yeah. Until I get drunk.
No, even then. You're kind of quiet and boring.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm trying to think of a situation in which you're your company. It's just... Nothing's coming to mind. It's like...
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Well, then. That just made everything pointless.
All right. Show's over. Goodbye.
Oh, you're not off the hook that easy, buddy. Yeah.
So what are you going to talk about? What's up?
I cut grass on Sunday, I think, to answer your question. Yeah. Yeah, so. And I don't think I'm going to have to do it for another week, because it's going to be raining. So, hey, there's that.
I hate you.
Well, see, Josh, I'm the one he hates.
It's not a contest, Craig. We can both be despised.
Well, he just thinks you're the worst. I'm the one he hates.
That's a pretty good. That's a good assessment of the situation.
Yeah. So, how was the signing? Oh, yeah.
It's good. It was a better signing than I've had here in Chicago in a long time.
That's good. They get a decent turnout out there? I mean,
yeah.
I guess
it that's what I meant. Yeah. I mean, how else would I measure it? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, some places might not provide you beer or something. I don't know. You know.
Well, Eric doesn't come up here often, so I think the Goon fans showed up.
Oh, good.
So.
And how's Eric Powell?
He's all right. He's sitting right here.
Oh, hello, Eric Powell.
He's doing work.
Hello.
He's doing work. He's got no time for you.
All right, then.
This is a very surreal moment listening to this tragic story while children are singing on that, in the next room.
Yeah, we specialize in awkward moments.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I think that's our charm. Anyway. So, I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, anyway, it was good you had a good signing.
Yeah. I mean, for a change. I mean, it's been pretty... I mean, when you sign up here, nobody shows up because everybody sees you all the time, so...
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? It's like being in a band and playing a local show.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was kind of neat. The people that were showing up for Grumble, there were guys that, like... This is weird to say, but people that actually read it and, like, were asking me specific questions about it, and that usually doesn't happen.
Questions like, what does this mean, or, like...
Well, like, asking where the story was going, because they had, I was trying to be non-spoilery to them.
I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, I'm sure a few of them probably, you know, complimented the lettering, you know.
Oh, yeah, everybody did.
Yeah, of course.
Every single person complimented the lettering.
Yeah, well, you know.
Except for this one lady who just really hated it.
There's always one, isn't there? You just can't.
And specifically because you did it. I don't know what she has against you.
Oh, I know her. Yeah, she gets around.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll talk to her when I go see her and Dad.
That's a good one.
Hey, I had to turn her around somehow. So, yeah. Where is the story going?
There is no story.
Mike, tell us about Grumble.
No. Everyone knows about Grumble.
How did the idea of Grumble come to you?
I like dogs, and I like Howard the Duck.
Okay.
And I like magic stories.
I like stories.
And I thought about writing it myself, but I got a lot going on, and I'm just not there as a writer, so I had the weirdest writer I know write the story for me.
Right on.
How's that? And then Eric said he'd publish it because he's not very bright.
He's sitting right there, dude.
I know.
You're not saying nothing, I already
know. Well, all right then. Tell us about pugs, Mike.
Pugs?
Well, in particular. Like, when they're marked like the pug from Grumble.
In China?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They were bred so that the wrinkle on their forehead would look like a Chinese character for... I forgot what it was. That's why they have so many wrinkles.
I always thought that was Sharpeys.
They are made from... Pekingese. Pekingese dogs, which were bred in China as well, because they look like lions.
Somewhere around Peking, I'd imagine.
I'm guessing, maybe. And bulldogs
Yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe Sharpay. I can't remember.
Sharpay, that's the other really wrinkly dog, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they are of Chinese origin?
No.
They were nearly wiped out during the... I don't know what invasion, what war that was, where they took the Emperor City thing place.
Okay.
And only a couple survived, and they were taken to England, where they proliferated.
Huh.
You thought I didn't know anything about pugs, did you?
I didn't know what you knew about pugs.
And what else do I know?
Tell us about the markings.
The markings?
Well, are the black ones just called black ones, or are they called something like... The other ones are called fawn, right?
They come in three colors. Fawn, which is the blonde color, the one that everybody knows, the one that I made the battle pug, even though it's mostly inspired by Ninja, my black pug, which is the second color. And then there is something called a silver fawn, which is sort of a gray-white... There's four, because there's the silver fawn, and then there's the apricot fawn. Apricot fawn's a regular fawn. Sorry, I was confused.
Oh, okay.
So there's a white sort of, and that's the silver fawn.
The silver fawns are the older ones that are kind of sexy.
No, they're not. No, that's just what happens when they get old.
Oh, I
see what you say, a silver fawn guy. Yeah,
silver fox, silver, yeah.
Gotcha. That was stupid. Describes me and the joke.
Yeah. Anyway, silver fawn.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of those.
I'm surprised you haven't got one just so you'd have the triplet.
Julie won't let me have any more dogs.
Oh, she nicks the pug farm idea?
She says we have to have a quote-unquote acreage before I have a pug farm.
Oh. So she's not opposed to it.
No, she likes me having animals. She just doesn't want to take care of them.
Fair enough.
I mean, she's from a farm. She had to take care of animals. She does not think of them the same way I do.
I would imagine, I mean, I always read about how farmers don't really like...
She loves the hell out of some cats.
Like, I don't know, pets aren't pets to farmers? Like they are to us, yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, she's come around. But, I mean, she had, like, a cat die every year because her dad would run it over or something like that. That's the way it works out in the woods.
That's pretty dangerous out there.
Yeah.
Speaking of cats.
Yeah?
I think...
Did you get one?
No. I still can't take care of myself. Like, I'm not going to... take on a pet.
A cat takes care of itself, Crank.
I'd still have to feed it, Mike.
You can't feed something?
And clean a litter box?
Well, that I understand.
Vet visits?
Yeah, that I understand as well.
You know, I mean, I just...
Most of my money goes to vet visits now.
If I don't keep any indoor plants, because I can't even take care of those, man. You know, forget to water them and stuff.
Wait, that implies you keep outdoor plants.
Well, I mean, I guess so. I got garden stuff. I had a really nice crop of roses this year. And my whatever you call them, not tiger lilies because they're not striped like that, but the, you know, whatever lilies, my orange lilies are coming up nice.
I would like to... bring up at this moment that we were in a book about comic book podcasts.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny. It's two old men talking about plants.
Oh. Well, I didn't mean that you brought... Yeah. I guess I brought plants. Sorry.
I never bring up plants, Craig.
But Julie has so many of them.
She does.
She is... She is quite the green room.
Yep.
Anyway, I saw a Persephone last night, and I think she's pregnant.
Oh, your cat?
Not the my cat. Yeah.
Well, you named it. Well,
I named it because it was there, but yeah. I mean, I don't have to take care of it, or it doesn't actually respond to me or like me or anything.
So you will have kittens that you can take.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if that's going to happen again with the whole, you know, kittens behind my bushes thing.
You better take one of those fucking kittens.
Well, if I can catch them all, I'm taking them all to the SPCA.
No, you're going to keep one of those kittens.
I'm not going to, no.
Yes, you are.
Dude, that's like third generation feral, at least.
That's not how it works.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you believe Grizzly Adams, too. Like, you could just adopt a bear cub.
What?
What? Maybe it's Grizzly Adams.
Maybe you shouldn't have a pet. You're right, Crank. I'm sorry. You should not own a cat.
Well, there you go. Cats are kind of dumb, anyway.
Yes, they can be dumb.
Like, I don't know. Pretty, though. I mean, Persephone is a pretty cat, but maybe things would have been different if I actually would have gotten Mrs. Peanut Butter.
Things, yes, definitely would have been. Your life would have been a lot better, actually.
It would have
followed a different course.
Well, it definitely would have kicked off the cat cycle, you know? Like,
it would have been like, that Christmas movie where you see how your life would have been.
A Christmas Story?
No.
Why can't I remember that? A Christmas Carol?
Well, that one is like that,
Wonderful
too.
Life.
Wonderful Life.
Oh, it's a Wonderful Life. Okay.
Yeah.
So are you my Clarence?
I am nobody's Clarence.
Oh. Mrs. Peanut Butter was my Clarence.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Mr. Pibb.
Mr. Pibb. They call me Mr. Pibb.
And you just go, psst.
Oh, that scene. Sidney Poitier. They call me Mr. Pibb. Paid for by the Coca-Cola Company.
Yeah. Pardon me. Hold on. Dying over here. Okay, I'm back.
Maybe you shouldn't smoke.
Maybe I should move from Ohio. I wasn't this bad until I moved back here. I think it's something about being in a valley between the pollen and pollution and stuff.
And smoking.
I'm sure that doesn't help, but that's... I don't think that's the dominant factor in this situation. Mm-hmm. Smoking doesn't make you have a runny nose all the time.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
No.
I have new evidence.
Oh, okay. I guess you'll have to present that to the Surgeon General. So is it Dr. Surgeon General or Surgeon General MD?
I don't think it's either of those. I think it's just Surgeon General.
So the Surgeon General...
Or they probably call him Doctor.
I mean, the Surgeon General is not a doctor?
Yeah, they have to be, I think, don't they?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. I mean, if it's just a desk job, it could be a bureaucrat.
No, I think they have to be a doctor.
I mean, they let completely non-medical people decide, you know, whether or not abortion should be illegal.
Yeah. That's true. So, why doesn't... It wouldn't matter in this climate anyway, but why doesn't the Surgeon General say something with it?
I think...
It's not about medical stuff. It's about politics anyway.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think that in these cases of matters of law, it's considered more of a moral thing than a medical thing.
Yeah, that's what it is. It has nothing to do with it.
I mean, all the Surgeon General could do is just probably chime in on whether or not it's safe to do it, like, or whatever, you know, the technical aspects of it, I suppose. I was just making a snippy remark, really.
So when do you want to start the show?
Oh, I don't know. Welcome to week 713 of the Crankcast. There, I think we've begun. Let's talk about comics.
I don't know anything about comics.
I don't either, but I did finally pick up a copy of A Wrinkle in Time. I think it was Hope Larson?
Oh, the comic version of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know there was one.
Oh, yeah.
Did you talk about that already?
Several years ago.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, it's been out for a long time.
It doesn't go back that far.
But I'd happened to see a copy of it, so I finally picked it up.
Okay.
I haven't started reading it yet, though, so I can't really talk about it. I think that was Hope Larson, wasn't it?
You're asking the wrong person. I know who Hope Larson is, but I haven't.
I'm looking it up now. Because, it's Hope Larson. Yeah. So, and I went on one of those things where, you know, occasionally a couple times a year I'll buy a bunch of cheap design books or, like, art books or whatever, you know, reference stuff I can write off on my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when I'm shopping for those, I'll look for, like, you know, trades or graphic novels or whatever, too, just to have some of those around.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought that and bought a proper old copy of Dark Knight Returns, you know, because it was like $4 or something, you know.
Oh, that's really good.
Oh, and I picked up a couple more Will Eisner stuff.
Yeah?
Last Day in Vietnam.
Okay.
And I don't remember the title of the other one. It's downstairs. It was one I haven't had gotten yet. I still haven't gotten into his, like, spirit stuff, which I do want to read eventually, but...
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know, like... All I know about it's just from what I've read and, like, when they show it as examples and biographies about him or, like, in his books that I was reading about how to make comics, stuff like that. And it seems like it's fun and interesting enough, and there's, like, a lot of really neat examples of just how he was able to manipulate comics, you know, rather than just doing standard stuff.
Yeah, I think he experimented more on the other stuff, though. I mean, there's some... Like, there's a artist edition spirit that we have here that's not really the strongest stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not the most exciting.
The way they always talked about the spirit was that was where he kind of really, like, started to cut loose and
just... Some of it is. Some
crazy
of it is
stuff. Like,
yeah.
Because they, And I'm gonna digress now.
What perfect all the time.
Oh no! I mean,
I'm very surprised by that collection too, because I thought they would probably get the best stuff in that.
Yeah, that seems weird from an editorial standpoint. Unless it was
I think there's more than one.
Unless that was just his favorite stuff or something, like for whatever reason.
This came out way after he was done.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, of course he wasn't perfect, though. Anybody, you know, that's the point of experimenting, right? So you fail and figure out what doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, or I guess if you're a glass half full person, it's what does work. Yeah. But I know, like, some of the examples I've seen of his work, like his more just crazy layout type stuff and that, even to me, I'm looking at it going, like, yeah, I this page is really hard to read, you know. Like,
really, I haven't had that problem.
Yeah, I've read some stuff like where of his it was just sort of like the page flow was really weird and hard to follow. Like,
that's surprising to me.
Standing back at it,
wrote the book.
Well, but it's like we were just saying. I mean, he can't, you know, he wasn't right all the time. Like, he was just really good at what he did, like, you know. But, yeah, so I try to pick up books by him that I don't have when I'm doing my shopping like that, you know.
Your shopper.
I picked up an interesting book called Plastic. It's all about the use of plastic in, like, industrial design and furniture and stuff like that, you know. And just kind of how plastic really opened up the, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, the kind of out there design field of being able to make furniture that was weird, you know.
One need only listen to Richard Pryor's monologue in Superman 3 to understand the importance of plastics.
Oh, well, yeah. Plastics, man. It's funny, though, because, like, you know, I never really went to IKEA before, like, mid-2000s, I guess. Because the first one I went to was out there, wherever that is, out in Chicago there. and I'm thinking that was, well, that was probably early 2000, like 2002, 2003 sometime. Mm-hmm. And back then, I don't remember as much. I mean, there was weird odds and ends and stuff, but like half the stuff in this book looks like it could be in an IKEA, is what I'm saying. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, all the stuff that's in here is all like from expensive designers and stuff, because I looked up a few of the pieces I thought were interesting, like especially some of the lighting, the lamps and things, and some of the chairs, and they're those kinds of things where you're spending like, you know, $3,000-$4,000 on a single piece of furniture. Like,
not me.
Crazy, like out of my budget kind of stuff, you know. Looks really neat. Some of it looks like it's, you know, from an old Star Trek set or something, like kooky mid late 60s type looking things and stuff. But it's just it's interesting because it's, you know, like it's one of those things where the materials affect the medium, you know. Just like, you know, at some point, like if you ever committed to working completely RGB in comic books, like for like said, okay, I'm not going to print anything anymore, it's all going to be on screen, that would actually like open up so much stuff to what you could do, you know.
Right.
I mean, at the same time, it closes other doors, but like it just, it's one of those things where just the medium affects the message, you know. And it's just interesting to look at from that standpoint. Plus, a lot of the designs are neat, and I like having stuff like that around just as a to look at, so I can kind of like, it inspires me to think about things differently or look at, you know, get a different idea on something.
Well, that's why people buy your books.
Well, plus, you can write them off in taxes. So
you can.
Oh yeah, man! It's all reference material.
No, I'm doing it wrong.
You taught me that.
I did, didn't I?
Yeah. So that, and like I bought a book that's nothing but vintage Soviet era like textile designs.
Really?
Yeah, just patterns and things.
Books.
No, they're neat to look at. I mean, I buy like actual workbook type stuff too. I bought some books on like letter forms and lettering and things like that too, but. It's just the ones that are actually just eye candy are more interesting to talk about before I read them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've even got books sitting on my reference shelf about just sort of, like, cinematic composition and stuff, because I figure it's all tangentially related anyway. It's all about...
Most people have it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all about composition and design and you know, how to arrange things in a pleasing manner that other people will enjoy. Essentially, it's all flower arranging. That's all we do. Not to denigrate flower arranging, because that's a thing in and of itself, but... Anyway. Yeah, so, I bought stuff.
Good for you.
Oh, and I bought I think I had, like, some loose issues of this or something. There was back in the early 90s, late 80s, there was a comic adaptation of... Terry Pratchett's Light Fantastic, and I found that for like $3-4. So like the graphic or the collected version of it, or I don't know if it was an OGN. I seem to remember having like a stray issue that I picked up out of a quarter bin or something way back in the day. But so I don't know if it came out like all collected at once anyway. But either way, the one I bought was like a collection, and I didn't really recognize anybody working on it, but. It looked decent enough, and Terry Pratchett's works funny, so. I,
The train!
Yeah. I had this gift card that somebody had given me to Half Price Books that I've had sitting around for, I don't know, like 3 years, 4 years, or something like that.
I really love that place.
Say what?
I really love that place.
I really used to like going there, especially back in the 90s. It seemed like, I think it was the same thing with thrift stores. It was, you know, they didn't look stuff up on the internet and try to see how much they could get for it on eBay when they would price stuff back then.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Oh, yeah, that's a thing now, isn't it? I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, back in the mid-90s, you know, you could go to Half Price and they were selling off, you know, old records for 10 cents a piece and stuff like that. Of course, I mean, that was before the vinyl re-explosion stuff, too, but... I mean, even a lot of their, you can find like, you know, close to out of print stuff or out of print books that, you know, they were selling for just the normal half price or whatever, you know, stuff like that.
I blame the American pickers.
It's definitely stuff like that and eBay, and everybody thinks everything's worth something more than what it probably actually is. I don't know. I mean, I guess if somebody pays it, it's worth it, right? Mm. That's the theory behind it all, anyway. But it it seemed like, yeah, after a certain point towards the end of the 90s, early 2000s, then, like, thrift stores started having sections that were drastically marked up, and it was all stuff that, you know, like, oh, they must have looked that up online to see what they, you know, it was going for.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing, like, half-price books would have those, like, really expensive markups and stuff that would be like behind glass and stuff like that, you know? More so than what I remember seeing prior, anyway. Like, and that's the only thing I can think of is just the ease of being able to like kind of price shop across the country started making it more everything more expensive slightly, because like even your shelf prices on secondhand stores like that, like even just the general shelf prices all went up too. And some of that could be attributed, I guess, to inflation and whatnot, but I blame the internet. It's probably a pretty safe bet for anything, really. Like, I blame the internet.
These days, sure.
Because, I mean, the internet's it's terrible. It's a terrible place. It's a, you know, den of thieves and murderers and stuff.
Whoa, really?
I don't know. It's not the dream we had. But, yeah, so what was I talking about anyway? Oh, half price. So I went into half price with this three or four-year-old.
Oh, no, I was asleep.
Yeah, I know. You just kind of dozed off after a while. But I mean, you're getting old. So
that's, for a quarter, that's it.
So, I guess I've just been reading too many Murakama stories. I sort of go nowhere.
No, I haven't read any of those, so it doesn't work on me.
Yeah. Somebody gets it, though. Somebody.
Maybe.
So, yeah. But I found a, went into half price with this really old gift card, and surprisingly, their balances don't expire, so it still had its, you know, complete balance on it. I was like, wow, okay, cool.
When's the last time you got that thing?
Well, like I said, I've had it 3-4 years now.
Oh, okay.
And it was one of those things where it's like, I had been to the local half price, but like I had never remembered to bring the card with me, because usually it was accidental when I would go in there. Or I would go in there as a matter of convenience, because I happened to be by there at the time or something. So anyway, yeah, I got in there to use it, and I'm digging through, they still have cheapo records, so I'm digging through their records, and I find this mid-80s Christmas album that was recorded by a local, I guess it's college radio, Xavier University, and
okay.
I'm assuming it either must be people from the Xavier music program, or they were just local musicians that I wasn't familiar with or something, because I really didn't recognize the names. But the cool thing about it was recorded in a recording studio that was used to be located here in Mount Healthy, which is now, it's just gone. It's been torn down. But it, me and my friend Brian, when we were in bands together in our early teens and stuff, we went in there to try to get like studio time, not knowing anything or not knowing how much it cost or anything like that, you know. And they were nice about it. They showed us around, showed us the studio and stuff.
How old were you?
This was early, like I was probably 12 or 13, you know. But I remember them being nice about it, and they gave us like, you know, prices and stuff like that. You know, they didn't just kick us out or anything. But it was just kind of cool to, for a buck, I was like, oh, sure, I'll buy this record. It's just kind of like a piece of local history kind of thing, you know.
My guitar teacher had a studio at his house, and that's how we recorded our stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's handy.
He'd still charge us.
Oh, sure.
I think the most expensive thing was the DAT tape that we had to record on.
I remember the first time I went into a studio with a band, we recorded on one of those, it wasn't even a good one, because, like, I've got it now, I've got one now, it's, it was a reel-to-reel machine, but it was, one of those ones that's still only, like, not quarter inch, but, like, half inch, like the home commercial reel-to-reels that they used to sell, you know, but it was an 8-track instead of just a 4-track. And that's for the budget studio. That's what they recorded the bands on.
Budget studio.
And we went in and we did like 3 or 4 songs real fast. They gave us, a rough mix because they gave us a tape like right when we were leaving.
Yeah, that's what that is.
And then I don't know what happened. That was all we ever got. Like, we never, I'm guessing that they... you know, scrap the tape or re-record it over the original tapes by, you know, after at some point, but they, we never got, like, a proper mix of it or anything. All that was floating around was just this rough mix from the day. And it wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't great anyway. It's, but that was such a weird experience because we were, like, trying to get in and out of there so fast, you know, because it was costing us money. Like, you know, not that I had any money at the time to actually spend on it, but. So I think it was probably like most of the rest of the band just floating the money for it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I just remember that being a really frantic experience and being like mildly disappointed at the result. But hey. Y'all gotta start somewhere.
Bester.
What else is happening with comics? We should talk about comics more.
I don't know. How long has it been?
Since what?
We started.
14 years?
God, I
mean, it feels like 14 years.
I take it back. You're the worst.
Yay! I win. No, we've still got plenty of time. Bye.
I don't really have anything to talk about comics other than I'm drawing one right now.
What you working on?
I'm trying to get a little chunk of Battlepug done before I start on Grumble 10.
Oh, okay. Look at you being all proactive and stuff.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, let's see. We can talk about... We don't have to talk about actual comics. We can talk about the work of comics.
Nobody likes that.
Oh, everybody likes the process. It's like asking, you know, what kind of brush you use.
I use a Wacom stylus.
Probably with friendin' brushes, don't you?
I do use, I do. My main inking pen is a friendin' brush called Lando Calbrushian. Actually, here's in true Star Wars form, it's a brush called Lando Calbrushian that I have accidentally altered, but I don't know what I did to it. So I can't repeat it, but it is like the perfect brush for me.
I hope you saved copies of it.
Mm-hmm.
You should remember to export your brushes, Mike.
Oh, I do have them exported, okay. So that I can use them on other computers.
So, ding, there's a tip. Remember to export your custom brushes, folks. Yeah, you're still using Clip Studio, right?
Still, most people do, yeah.
Right.
Well, Procreate is a thing that people use a lot now.
I'm still wanting to check out those, is Procreate the ones that do the, oh, gosh. I can't remember what they're called. Was it Inkscape? No.
Inkscape?
They, there was this company that put out, they were, it was basically trying to do a Illustrator and Photoshop kind of replacement, you know? And they were supposed to be really good, and they were really affordable.
Mm.
But now I can't remember the name of it.
Affinity?
Yeah, the Affinity programs. Or is that the company, Affinity?
The company is Sarah, I think.
Okay, so there's...
Affinity Draw and Affinity Paint.
Yes, those, what he said.
Okay.
And I I still haven't, yeah, I haven't tried them either yet. But I kept hearing good things about them. I think a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, I've just heard a lot of people talking, where they're just kind of fed up. Yeah. They're just kind of, they either can't get into or are fed up with the not being able to just buy software thing that Adobe's got going on, you know?
I have to tell you, I've been more and more impressed with Pixelmator Pro.
What's that?
It's kind of got a weird UI, but it's pretty capable.
Is that a like a raster graphics app, or is that a... Yeah? No? Maybe?
He didn't see it.
Okay. Is that an Android program?
He's watching something on his screen.
Okay. Well, we'll leave.
Well, I don't know why he would mention something and then put headphones on.
Well, we'll leave him.
What's up?
He asked you if that was an Android program.
Oh, no, it's for the Mac.
Oh, Pixel Mater? Like M-A-T-O-R?
Pixel Mater Pro.
Yeah, okay. I was looking at Pixel Maker Pro. Ah. I see. Okay.
Done. Are we finished with this conversation now? Can I put on?
No, yes, of course.
Continue as you were.
He's doing like webinars today.
Oh. Improving himself. Or is he conducting them?
No. Apple just put out all the new stuff, and that means programming improvements, which is what he does.
Right. What are you excited for about Apple's new stuff?
Nothing.
I saw something about the pads can finally use USB sticks or something.
Yeah, there's thumb drives. That. Like, that's kind of interesting.
I'm not sure why that's like, that's pretty old, like a thing, isn't it? They couldn't do that before?
Mm-mm. They could not do that.
That's weird. Okay. I imagine that, you know, a lot of people would be happy about that because it would increase your storage space. Do they have SD card slots?
What'd you say?
Do they have SD card slots on iPads?
No, they don't have any of that. Apple always expects you to just go directly to the cloud.
Oh.
They're always too far ahead, I think, as far as that goes.
Huh. Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's cool. I don't even know, like, do they got new models coming out or something, I guess?
Yeah.
Are you going to...
I would hope so. If they're, I mean, how else are you going to use a USB on there?
Are you going to buy one so they drop in price?
No, not immediately. I'm trying to take it easy on the early adoption crowd.
Oh.
I'm just going to focus on drawing stuff.
Right on. I got to build a new computer this year.
Do you?
I've been on the same one since 2015, beginning of 2015. And when I bought it, it wasn't...
I've had mine for that long.
And when I put it together, it wasn't... The parts weren't... I was going with, like, probably a year revision old, so I was getting just better prices on it, you know? So technically, probably all this stuff's from 2014, you know? So... And it's... I don't know... There's a thing, because, you know, I still use Windows, and they're closing Windows support January 2020, Windows 7 support, like, which just means no new security updates and stuff like that, although, I don't know, if they're like they were before, they probably would still address critical bugs, I guess, like, but I don't know, I mean, essentially, though, they're ending support for Windows 7, which means I gotta start looking at Windows 10 to upgrade. So
and nobody wants that.
I just the only thing I've got that has Windows 10 on it is a little tablet, but I don't really like it very much. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really affect like. I mean, I guess moving up to Windows 10 will affect my music stuff a little bit, and probably some of my art stuff that's older, but at least most of that's all got modern analogs that I can get to comply with whatever changes Windows 10 has. But they've kind of gotten to that point where, like, like with Adobe's cloud app stuff now, their Creative Cloud, or whatever they're calling it now. I've noticed a lot of reports, well, off and on, but it's like this, and I'm sure it's like this with a lot of software, but because they force push the updates and stuff like that, they push things that break stuff a lot. I just see a lot of stuff with that. At least I read a lot of reports of that happening with Windows 10 because they do the same thing where they force update and push the updates, like, you know, monthly and stuff. And, you know, if you aren't careful, like, I mean, I think there are ways you can set it to only install manually, like you have to review the changes before you make them. But
yeah. I think every operating system does that.
Well, a lot of them, I mean, they go for the assumption that you're dumb, which is fair point. A lot of users are dumb. As far as not dumb people, but they just really don't know about the anything about the workings of their computer, you know? But if, you know, so a lot of things are set for automatic, especially if it's like supposed to be a critical plugin or if it's flagged critical from the sender kind of thing, it'll get installed automatically. And but you know, if you don't actually review stuff or like keep an eye on how it's reports from the wild, like, you know, once it actually gets installed, if it's fucking up anybody else's stuff, you know, you can wind up having what amounts to an unusable system for you, which, you know, considering we use our computers daily for our livelihood, isn't a good thing, you know. And it's, you're in the middle of a crunch, you really can't afford to be down for a day while you try to figure out what the problem is, you know.
I've been here during that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's, you know,
the downside of being digital is that if it does go down, you're kind of screwed.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if, you know, that's one thing where I mission critical stuff you should always keep local copies of. Don't rely on the cloud, you know. I mean, use the cloud as well, but keep local copies of it so you can keep working if something goes wrong. There's another tip. Keep local copies of stuff. But then, you know, that almost, I guess for a lot of people, that doubles the work, though, which is, I don't know. It's all complicated. And I say doubles the work, but then I'm thinking, like, I read this article last week sometime, I think. And the focus of the article was on early spreadsheet programs, like Lotus 1-2-3 and I can't remember what the name of the first one was. I think it came out on Mac stuff back then. But it was talking about how when those programs came out, it put a shit ton of clerical accountants out of work.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it used to be you'd have to have, like, an army of people that manually erased things and re-tallied columns and fields and stuff, you know?
So we're talking 80s, then.
Yeah, late 70s, early 80s. Like, that's, you know, when the software came out.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
VisiCalc, that was the first one.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was just talking about how it, you know, put all these people out of work because suddenly smaller teams could automatically just take care of this stuff by plugging in a single figure, you know?
Yeah.
And so you didn't have to have all these people with pencils and erasers and whiteout and everything else. And then, so I try to think about things in terms of, like, how tough stuff used to be before I had access to computers and things like that, you know?
Right.
Put it in perspective, because, you know, it's like, it's one of those things where you get used to it, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, you know, I mean, I have to press an extra button? Like, that's really a lot of work, you know, or something. When, you know, prior I would have to actually, like, physically, I don't know, pull out a pair of scissors and cut something up or something, you know, like, whatever. Oh, that was another thing I bought in my reference book buying this week was, I bought a couple of books on how to do collage. Because I've talked before how my brain just doesn't work like that. Like, I can appreciate looking at it, but I don't understand how to do it. Yeah. So I'm going to try to rewire my brain and see if I can actually learn how to make an actual collage that looks good or something. Because it's, I don't know. I want to see if I can actually change myself some. Yeah.
Go for it.
It's self-improvement.
Go for it, you big weirdo.
I'm going to make a mic collage.
Of vision board?
I'm vision board. Yeah. It's my mic vision board. But, anyway. So, do we have an email, Mike? It's that time. And while you're doing that, I'll take a look at the comic list. Let's see what's in stores this week.
We have no email.
Well, can't rain all the time. I saw there's a book called Stronghold out from Aftershock.
Yeah, that's Phil Hester, isn't it?
Yeah. And I was
trying for Devil's Due.
That's what I was asking. That's not the same book as it was, or as Devil's Due put out.
I think it's a modified version of it. Yeah, I think it's a redo.
Oh. Because it's let's see. Yeah, it's Phil Hester and Ryan Kelly on this one.
Yeah, it was somebody else in the old one. I think. Maybe wrong.
I'm trying to remember which book Stronghold was in the Devil's Due line. Was that the one about the superhero that went bad?
Nope. Stronghold was completely apart from that stuff.
Oh, that wasn't in the superhero line?
No.
Okay, yeah, then I don't remember it very well. I just remember the name then. Well, all right then. Uncle Phil's got books out.
Uncle Phil does have books out. When Uncle Phil talks, you better listen.
So, yeah, I'm just scrolling down through stuff. If you got anything that you know is in stores, go ahead and shout it out.
I don't think I have anything in stores. Okay. Everything was like last week or next week.
Oh, this would be interesting to pick up. The second Mind Management omnibus is out. I haven't read that in a long time, but I remember thinking that was a really weird, interesting book when I was reading it. That was the one that had all these weird, messages, written around the margins, and, almost everything seemed like it had a double meaning, or something like that. Yeah.
I never read it.
It was a weirdo. Yeah.
I've heard it was good.
Devil's Due has a book out called Boogly Heads.
Who's doing it?
That's Gus Fink and Laura Pendle.
What's it called?
Boogly Heads. It's a all ages book.
Boogly Heads.
Yeah, Boogily Heads. Gus Fink. I just brought that up because I thought it was a funny name. Boogly Heads. Yeah. Oh, / Omnibus Volume 6 is in stores this week. Which I guess means that the / timeline infographic needs to be updated or something.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, new Stray Bullets.
Those are creepy looking. Oh, I see. Boogly Heads.
Wasn't there an 80s? What was those 80s toys? Boggins. Boglins?
I don't remember. Boggins?
Or was Boggins a movie?
It may have been like a kids' TV movie.
But I remember
they were a toy, Boglins.
Yeah, there was a toy. They were like puppets. You could put your hands inside the heads.
Yeah.
And the box they came in looked like a cage, like a caged box or something.
Yeah.
And they were weird, like just ugly faced, monstery things.
I didn't have any of that stuff.
I don't think I ever did either. Closest I came to that was Madballs. And I didn't have but one or two of those.
Been a lot of Madball talk in this studio lately.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why's that?
think Ryan's starting to collect them again.
Oh, I don't even know, man. How many of them were there? Like, wasn't that one of those things where they put out a million of them?
Asking the wrong guy.
Oh, gosh, that was a cartoon for a while, too, wasn't it?
Madballs?
Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, it was a cartoon for a while. Crazy.
Fascinating.
It was actually a cartoon twice. Once in the mid-80s, and then they brought it back again later. Like a revamped version of it or whatever. Actually three times. Mid-2000s and then 2017 to present. How weird. Okay, anyway. I guess that's all, man. You know, unless you want to talk about movies you watched.
Nope.
Because I'm about to watch one you watched.
Oh, really? What are you going to watch?
I want to watch that
Wishman,
because it sounded weird and it's got Brian
Are Jamie. You really going to watch Wishman?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It sounded terribly weird.
It is terribly weird. I bet you love it. I bet you will love that movie.
I don't know. It took me a while to find it. Well, not a while. I had to go to YouTube to find it.
Yeah, it's only on YouTube.
Because, yeah, I couldn't find it anyplace else, legit or otherwise.
It's only on YouTube.
Sup? Snoo.
Just getting my lymph nodes massaged.
Ah. Getting the nodes milked.
Getting the nodes milked?
Oh. It is a lot more subtle than you would think.
Node milking?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like a deep massage almost. But literally they just touch your top of your skin and just pull a little bit and like move a centimeter down and then do it again and again.
Huh.
Would you say it's sensual?
It's nice. The lady doing it was nice.
Mm-hmm. You had a sensual node massage. Yeah. That's interesting.
It's good. Close my eyes a couple times.
So pretty relaxing.
Yeah.
When I close my eyes.
If you close your eyes forever.
Yeah, literally, if you just drag your skin a little bit, that's activating your lymph nodes. You get those little mini pumps running.
This sounds really gross.
And then you gotta push your lymph juices around your body.
Lymph juice! My neck
look better?
Yeah. It does look thinner.
I got a cool...
But you've lost weight, so...
I got a cool headgear I get to wear.
What?
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's in my bag.
Can we see it?
Sure.
Is it like wrestling headgear?
Sometimes.
You're going to wear it at work?
I might. I'm supposed to wear it for like a half hour.
Does it vibrate?
Pretty cool. It looks like ladies' underwear. I put on my head.
Whoa! What the fuck is that? Oh my god. Can we take a picture?
No.
Oh man, it does. It looks like a jockstrap.
I think I know what you're talking about. I've seen them sold for like chin lifting and stuff.
This is like what Gambit wears, isn't it?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've seen those. Those actually have some useful like application.
So Gambit just has lymph node problems, right? That's what it is. I don't know. It looks like it's on wrong.
I think I'm on wrong.
You look like you're about to build a woman in your basement.
Anyway, put that on. And then they shove these sponges under my neck.
What? Are you sure this was a legit doctor you went to?
But then she gave me paperwork
to get a, where is it? A super pump one.
Oh no! That looks like the lamest superhero.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Can hang that all day.
It's like a Fremen still suit.
But just for the face. It's just for the face.
Fremen for TV.
My like face needs the spice.
It's a Harkonnen style.
Yeah, Harkonnen's been coming.
Look at that Toronto. Look at that guy. That's a cool mask.
Yeah, it looks like you're about to fight Batman.
Nudes.
Hello. My cats are free, Batman.
I will unleash my nodes on you.
Relax the nodes.
Cool. All right, this is done. Turn it off.
Yeah, well, at least that ended on a good thing. Today's good thing with the Crankcast. All right, you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Go read Battlepug at battlepug.com. Go visit Albatross to find Grumble stuff and Goon stuff and stuff.
Lots of stuff.
They have an Instagram.
They got everything.
And the Twitter. The Twitter? Yeah. Anyway.
Go check out their TikTok.
Yeah. What he said. And, yeah, have a good weekend. We'll catch y'all next week. Goodbye.
Bye.